Today's lessons come from Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 28. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money and received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." But Ananias heard this. He fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house in sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings. This is the word of the Lord.
Every year on Youth Sunday, I try to think of some sort of advice for our graduates, something for them to think on, something that will challenge them to grow in their Christian faith. And so today I'm going to start with a story. A couple of months ago, Maggie and I were here at the church preparing some sandwiches for the Saturday lunch ministry. She was helping Dad that day. And about halfway through our task, she said, "Hey, Dad, you know what would be great? We should get a Dr. Pepper and share it." And I said, "Well, Maggie, you know, I don't think you're really allowed to have Dr. Pepper. You know how Mom feels about soft drinks, and you're really not supposed to have them, and I'm inclined to agree with Mom on this." And she said, "Dad, I am 9 years old. I am allowed to have a Dr. Pepper. I am not a kid. I think it's okay if we split a Dr. Pepper." "Are you sure you're allowed to have a soft drink?" I asked. "Yes," she replied. I said, "Well, you know, I guess it'll be okay. You aren't a little kid anymore." So I gave her some change, and she went to the Coke machine in the fellowship hall, and she got a Dr. Pepper. We split it, and then we finished making the sandwiches. And we had to pick Sarah up that day because she'd gotten the oil changed in her car. And as soon as we picked Sarah up and started driving to pick up her car, Maggie says, "Hey, Mom, guess what?" And Sarah says, "What?" And Maggie replies with, "Dad let me have a Dr. Pepper today. We split it." Sarah looks at me and she says, "You did what?" I said, "Well, you know, she was helping out today and she asked. So I thought, you know, why not? One Dr. Pepper's not going to be that big of a deal." And Sarah said, "You know she's not supposed to have soft drinks because of her braces. That's on the list of no-no foods." Oh my gosh, you know, I totally forgot about that. But she kept telling me that it was okay. I was only thinking about, you know, the caffeine and the sugar, and I wasn't even thinking about the braces food list. "I'm so sorry I messed up," I replied. And then in a very kind and loving manner, I was gently reminded, and it was very kind and loving manner, that we have to be very diligent about making sure she eats the right things while she has her braces, and that a slip up here and there is not a big deal, but that we all have to work together on this. Well, we made it to the car dealership and we dropped Sarah off to get her car. And as soon as she got out of the car, I turned and looked at Maggie and I said, "Did you remember that you weren't supposed to have soft drinks because of your braces?" And her response was simply, "Yes." And I said, "Margaret Ann Weller," and you know it's bad because you got the full name coming out there. I said, "Margaret Ann, what in the world were you doing? You got me into trouble and I didn't even know that I was doing anything wrong. You lied to me about this whole thing. You knew you weren't supposed to have that drink. You knew why you weren't supposed to have that drink. And you lied and told me that it was fine for you to have that drink. I can't believe that you would lie to me. What do you have to say for yourself?" And she looked at me as serious can be and she said, "That's not a lie. That's called a hustle, sweetheart." I gave up. What are you going to do? I'm in trouble big time, right? Our passage from Psalms 139 says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. God, you know where I'm going. You know what I'm doing. You know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And you know the words before they even leave my mouth. You know what my heart's motivation is. You know everything about me. There is nothing that I can hide from you, God." And yet, in spite of us knowing that God knows everything about us, we still try to hustle God. We still try to fool God. We think we can pull one over on him, or maybe we've just fooled ourselves into thinking that we can fool God. Whatever the case, we try to hustle God the same way that Maggie hustled me. When we look in Acts 5, the passage, we see Ananias and Sapphira. Now, prior to this passage, we read about a man named Joseph called Barnabas who had sold a field and gave all the money to the apostles. He gave it all because he felt compelled by God to do so. Now, Ananias and Sapphira were not under any obligation to give anything. There was no rule, there was no commandment, there was nothing that said they had to do the same thing. So the property that they owned was theirs to do as they wished. And what they did was sell a piece of property to give to the disciples for the needy. They could have given any amount. That was their prerogative to decide what they were going to give. The trouble was they saw the response for the gift Joseph called Barnabas gave, and envy and jealousy reared their ugly heads. They wanted that same praise and respect. The problem was they sold the property and then pretended to give all the money. However, they kept back part of the money for themselves. Now, there was nothing wrong with them keeping a portion of the money back. It was theirs to do with as they liked. The issue is in that they lied about the gift to make themselves look better than they actually were. This couple not only lied about the size of their gift, they boasted about their gift. They tried to deceive the apostles and the believers into thinking they were especially holy because of their generosity. They were selfish and self-serving. And worst of all, they cheated themselves out of the blessing of giving wholeheartedly. And let me also say that this scene is God making a point, not God setting a pattern. Their punishment was death. The problem wasn't that they kept some money back. It wasn't that they didn't give all to the community of faith like everyone else. It had to do with the fact that they were clearly so worried about appearance that they concocted a scheme to give a little and make it look like they gave a lot. They hustled the people, and they tried to hustle God. See, you can hustle people all day long. You can fool me 10 times before the day is out. But God knows you. He knows your innermost thoughts. He knows your heart. You can't hustle him. You can't fool him. So it's best just to be honest. Be honest with God. And be honest with yourself and realize that when you're honest, then and only then can God really begin to do his amazing work in and through you. Matthew tells us this. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. One gate is wide and easy, the other is narrow and difficult, and the wide and easy gate leads to destruction. The narrow leads to life. It's very difficult for us to be honest with ourselves sometimes. Not only are we good at hustling others, we're really pretty good at hustling ourselves. But if we want to be honest with God, we're going to have to be honest with ourselves. That's hard. That's difficult because it means we have to deal with things that we might not want to deal with. We have to address issues that we'd rather ignore, pretend they don't exist. It's hard for us to take that narrow, difficult road. But it's the road that leads to life. And the problem is that if we don't stop trying to fool God and fool ourselves, then we will never be a tree that bears good fruit, as Matthew says. And when the storms of life come, we will have no foundation to keep us standing. We will be that foolish builder that built his house on the sand. So if there was one bit of advice for our graduates today, it's this. Stop trying to hustle God. Be honest with God and with yourself. Take that narrow road that grows us to bear good fruit and build that solid foundation on our Lord Jesus Christ. God knows you. God loves you in spite of all the hustling you tried to do to him. And he wants so much more for you. But you have to be honest with him, and you've got to be honest with yourself to get there. No more hustling. To God be all glory and honor and power forever and ever. Amen.